The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. It's Katie Couric. And yep, Georgia seems to be on everyone's mind these days, especially as it wraps up its manual recount of nearly 5 million ballots. On Friday, November 13th, when the recount began, several news outlets had declared Joe Biden the state's winner. Now, if that still holds when the recount is complete, Joe Biden will be the first Democratic presidential candidate to win Georgia since 1992. If that weren't enough, control of the Senate now hinges on two critical Georgia runoff elections, which will happen in January. At the center of this national political storm is Georgia's Republican Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger.
Hello, good evening.
Hi. Brad and I had a chance to speak Monday evening, so listen and enjoy. What has it been like for you to be at the epicenter of national media attention? I mean, all eyes are on Georgia. Is that stressing you out, Brad?
No, but when you look at 2 years ago, when Stacey Abrams ran against Governor Kemp, he prevailed with a 53,000 margin. And so Georgia is more competitive. I thought as a Republican, it was going to go the other way. And right now, it doesn't look like it's going to. I think some of that is Vice President Biden had a very robust absentee ballot campaign. And President Trump said, don't vote absentee, come out and vote the day of the election. And only less than a million people showed up on election day. If the 1.3, 1.4 million people would have shown up, he would have just won big time in Georgia.
But why do you think he was so opposed to, in the midst of a national global pandemic, in fact, to encourage his supporters to vote by mail? In retrospect, wasn't that a massive mistake and miscalculation?
Well, I think President Trump was looking at some of the other states where they just send out a live ballot. And how do you really identify those people? And that's what some people did. But in Georgia, we followed the law. And what that was is that you had to request an absentee ballot. So we have done that. We followed the state law. In fact, over this year, because of some of the issues you could have with absentee ballot, we even strengthened the signature match. For the first time, we have photo ID. If you used our online portal, then it required photo ID and it connected you seamlessly to your driver's license. So we knew it was you that was applying for the absentee ballot.
Were there other things for people who may not be familiar with how things are done in Georgia? Were there other things that you all put in place to assure the integrity of mail-in ballots?
Well, that was probably the number one thing, is making sure we had signature match with the paper application, signature match, you know, when the ballot came back, and then with the online portal. But then we also made it more user-friendly from that standpoint. If you had an absentee ballot, we had an app called Ballot Track, so you could see where your ballot was in the process. And then we understood that wait times were one of the biggest issues, and we wanted to keep all options open, 16 days of early voting, day of election. And so we helped work on making sure you could securely and safely move through those lines during election day. And we did that. We had an average wait time on election day of 2 minutes.
You know, during the lead up to the election, a lot of people were concerned. Democrats were concerned that as a Republican Secretary of State, you know, they were on the lookout for any involvement in voter suppression. Now you are kind of the target of your own party.
Well, we're the referee, and what our job is to make sure we walk that line of integrity, because integrity still matters. And it's up to the candidates to run their races. We have the laws in place. We enforce the laws. We want to make sure that we have secure voting. As soon as I became elected, as soon as office, we worked on passing a bill that outlawed ballot harvesting. That ballot harvesting, to us, I don't think it's secure. It's wrong. And so we outlawed it. So we wanted to make sure that voters understood that. We also made sure, as soon as I became Secretary of State, that we could join ERIC, which is the Electronic Registration Information Center. It's multi-state, about 30 plus states now are part of it. So if you live in Georgia, move to Texas, Texas will let us know that you registered in Texas. What that does is allow us to begin the process of taking off the voter rolls. We want to make sure our voter rolls are clean.
Let's talk about the hand recount and the audit that you have ordered. Can you explain the recount process for us, and if you expect this process to change the results in any significant way?
Well, what we're doing is a risk-limiting audit, and state law requires us to do a 90% minimum confidence level. That means we'd have to pull out 1.5 million ballots. If we did a 95% confidence level, that'd be 2.5 million ballots. You start pulling that many ballots out of 5 million randomly, you might as well just count all 5 million. So we decided to do that. But instead of scanning those through the machines again, we said, let's go ahead and count these by hand, because some of these people are questioning, are these machines accurate? Did that QR code somehow change something? So everyone is looking at these ballots. Who did you want for president? Did you want Trump, Biden, or Joe Jurgensen? Either one. And it goes in three piles, and then you count them by hand. And that's what we've done to secure and make sure that you know exactly what it is. Now, do we have some changes? Well, today in Floyd County, what we found in the part of the audit process, there's about 2,500 ballots that were counted, but they were not uploaded properly at the county level. It was a poll worker mistake, not a machine mistake. But regardless, it appears that President Trump picked up about 800 votes. So now we'll add that to the total. But in some of these other counties, it's not changed one vote at all. And so it's been very, very close, other than this kind of poll worker error. But that's why you do an audit. That's why people audit books. That they're looking for any mistakes, because we want to give voters 100% confidence. We know half the people are not going to be pleased with this result, and then the other half are going to be ecstatic. We get that. And I think I may be the one that's not happy with the results. But we're going to, at the end of the day, have 100% confidence.
And when will that audit be complete?
We've tasked them to be done by the 18th, because we have to certify this election on the 20th. Then if it is within 0.5%, the candidate that has gotten the lower total can say, I would like 100% recount. Then we'll grab up all those ballots and we'll run them through the scanners and we'll do the same thing again, because that is their right, and we'll follow state law.
And as far as you can tell to this point, will it be within that percentage point?
Well, it is right now within that 0.5%. So the losing candidate could ask for another total. When you have 5 million ballots, it's a 50,000 vote delta. And so we'll be well within that margin.
Okay. And do you expect the Trump campaign to ask for a full recount?
Oh, that is their decision. But state law allows for it. And the state will pay and fund that for all the counties to do that.
Trump supporter and an attorney that I happen to know named Lynn Wood has alleged in a federal lawsuit, which was filed Friday, that absentee ballot signature review procedures violate the U.S. Constitution. The lawsuit takes issue with the settlement this spring between you and the Democratic Party of Georgia, which required election workers to consult with two of their peers before rejecting absentee ballots because of possible mismatched signatures. And the suit alleges that change needed approval from the Georgia General Assembly. Wow, we're really getting into the weeds here, but can you give us your perspective on this lawsuit?
It's frivolous. It's not going to go anywhere because in the end of the day, we kept signature match, and it really is, if you did not think it matched, then you could have another set of eyes look at it. But if the other set of eyes say it doesn't match, it doesn't match. And then you can have the opportunity to come down and cure your ballot. And then you can say, no, my signature changed because I broke my arm, whatever reason that is, but you have signature cure. And so it's really not changing anything. And we kept signature match. You have to have signature match when you do your application, a paper application. And you also do signature match when you send the ballots in. So it's really, there'll be three ballots on, or three signatures on file. The original, when you registered, then the application, and then with the ballot. And so you look at all three, line them up and see, is this the same person?
So you think Glenn Wood is barking up the wrong tree?
I don't know what tree he's barking up, but I'm sure he's just earning a good lawyer's fee for, you know, filing a frivolous lawsuit, but it's not going to go anywhere. That dog won't hunt.
As Dan Rather often said, Senators Loeffler and Perdue, who are both candidates in the Senate runoff, released a statement accusing you of having failed the people of Georgia and asking you to step down immediately. What was your response to that?
Well, I told them I'm not going anywhere. And all I would really tell them is you both are in competitive races and you best get at it. And quit worrying about, you know, this election because you got a big runoff election. And as a Republican, you know, I want to see our Republicans prevail. But at the end of the day, I'm going to walk that line of integrity and they're going to win if they win. Honestly, and everyone's going to know that they won with an honest vote. And that's what I'm called to do as Secretary of State.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes. I guess identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to my interview with Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger. Don't you feel like Secretary of State, if you're really overseeing elections, shouldn't it be a nonpartisan position? It sounds nutty to me. Like, whether it's Democrat or Republican, it's automatically going to feel not necessarily fair and impartial if we've got a Republican running things or if we have a Democrat running things. It sounds nutty to me.
Well, we have 159 counties, and I know that when we get some of our rural counties that voted 85% for President Trump, that those election directors may actually then also may have voted for President Trump. But then you get into some of the urban areas and it goes the other way. They may have voted for Vice President Biden. But at the end of the day, they set aside their partisan, leanings, and they run the election. It's about process. And that's really what it gets down to, is you run the process, you do the drill. And the results will be the results based on, did the candidate get his people out? And so as long as we have personal integrity, it works.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I believe
everyone
you.
Everyone has partisanship and biases. And so at the end of the day, we set that aside and we follow, what does the law say? What do the rules say? And that's what we do.
What did Lindsey Graham say to you, Secretary of State Raffensperger, when he called you on Friday?
I thought when he called originally, it was really to talk about the two runoffs we have for the U.S. Senate seats, since he's influential in that area. But he asked if the absentee ballots could be matched back to the envelope. So I explained how it works in Georgia, that the signature is matched when you make your ballot application, and then the signature is matched again when the ballot comes back. So there's two signature checks there. But once that happens, then the ballot is separated from the envelope, and then you can't match them back. But then I felt that he implied that for us to audit the envelopes and throw out ballots of counties with the highest frequency error of signatures. And I mentioned that that's not something we can do. And that's really where we left it. I told him I'd talk to my general counsel and we'd circle back. And there was no need to circle back, because then President Trump put out his tweet about something along those lines. And it just appeared that they were already coordinating their campaign. And subsequent to that, I understand there's a lawsuit in Michigan really along those lines. And this attorney, Lynn Wood, has filed a lawsuit about the absentee ballot process, which we're going to defend.
Did you feel the Republican Party, Lindsey Graham in particular, was exerting undue pressure on you and actually trying to find a way to toss legally cast ballots out of the system?
I don't know. It wasn't undue, because I said no. So at the end of the day, we are following our process.
But the fact that he called you and asked you this, Brad, did you feel it was inappropriate?
Yeah, I did. And that's why I didn't call him back. I talked to counsel and we just kind of moved off. Fortunately, I had a couple of my staff members on the call, because I understand everything that we do will be put under a microscope. And at the end of the day, no matter how this election falls, I want voters to have confidence in the accuracy of the election. And as a Republican, I know I'm going to probably be disappointed that something's not going to happen during this audit, because as the numbers come in, it's just really substantiating that the vote was accurately counted on the election night.
And that Joe Biden is the winner.
That's how it appears right now. we had in Floyd County. They never took out the memory stick in one of the machines used for early voting. And that added about 2,600 votes, which gave President Trump 800 more. But when you're short 14,000 votes, it doesn't get you there. Maybe there's another county that also did something dumb. And we'll take them out to the woodshed later. But right now, we're just working on our process of buttoning it up. But I don't think that'll get them where they need to be.
Senator Graham had a different recollection of your conversation. He said that if you found it threatening, you, quote, have a problem. What's your response?
I just had a different impression. And I guess I just really want to make sure that I mind all my P's, all my Q's, so that we can run this election, you know, right down, you know, the center line, you know, with integrity. And so that both sides know this is how the results came out. I understand, I've been saying this for 6 months, Katie, that half the people will be happy, half the people will be sad. In 2016, the other half was very, very sad. And they didn't admit that. How did President Trump win? Well, now it's going to be my side saying, how did that happen? And I get that. But in Georgia, people won't be able to question results. There's 49 other states, and all the secretaries of state over there can do run their elections. My job is Georgia, and that's what I'm focused in. So my Georgians have confidence.
Senator Graham also insists that he called you on his own accord, and it wasn't prompted by the Trump campaign. Do you believe him?
Well, I'll take him at his word. I know he's a Republican, and so am I, and he may have been just concerned. And so who am I? I don't know what was in his mind and all that. That's just me guessing. I just like to deal with facts. I'm an engineer, and if I deal with facts as Secretary of State, that's going to be a whole lot better at the end of the day when we talk to our voters and talk to both sides of the aisle.
Democrats have called for an ethics investigation looking into this. Do you think they're justified?
Well, that's Washington politics, and I'm going to tend to what we do here in Georgia. I love Georgia, and this is where my home is, and Secretary of State is where my focus is.
We'll be back with Brad Raffensperger right after this.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million. Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've been heralded as a nonpartisan leader throughout all of this. Knowing what you know now, Brad, when you think back to Brian Kemp's 2018 run for governor, should he have been running while serving as Secretary of State and overseeing the election process?
Well, when I run for re-election, I'm not going to resign for those few months as I run. So I'll be in office, and that has typically happened. People throw out those charges, but I hope that what they'll see at the end of the day that I will not be putting my thumb on the scales. So when I run for re-election, if I lose, I'll lose honestly, and I'll take my loss, you know, and I'll suck it up and I'll move on. And if I win, and it'll be what it is.
But my point is, should Brian Kemp have run for governor while simultaneously serving as Secretary of State and overseeing his own election? Doesn't that seem like a conflict of interest?
It sounds like it is one, but there's, you know, really the elections are run at the county level. It's 159 counties that are running these elections. What they're doing is we have oversight, but then they report those numbers up. You can't get in your, Georgia's too big to get in your car and drive to all 159 counties and start stuffing ballots. So it was a fair, honest election, and Stacey Abrams needs to get over it. She lost, and she lost fairly. And that wasn't helpful then, and it wouldn't be helpful now for people to question what the results are actually are in Georgia.
Having said that, you do credit her with bringing out voters and increasing turnout significantly in your state.
She did 2 years ago. It's just that Governor Kemp turned out more. This year, if you look at what happened, her team and herself, they turned out voters. In fact, Senator Perdue had 14,500 more votes in the metro region than President Trump did. And so there's a model going forward that Republicans need to have a message that resonates with more people throughout the entire state of Georgia.
In urban areas in particular.
Yeah. And I think that bit by bit, we can make inroads there. And I think that as we diversify and make our party really the party of achievement and opportunity, we can do that. I go back to Ronald Reagan days. He was my hero, and I think he had a great message.
You have been called the most hated man in the Republican Party, and it's actually serious because you and your wife have been receiving death threats. Are you frustrated that your party can't take the partisanship out of the process?
I'm really disappointed that we have people from our side of the aisle that would send my wife death threats. You know, you like to always think that if we're going to do cops and robbers, you know, or we're playing the Wild West show, we're the guys with the white cowboy hats, and the other ones, you know, the other side's one with the black cowboy hats, and Democrats would do the same with us, right? Reverse. And when your own team, you know, you realize that you got people desperados with the black hats. It's disappointing. I thought we were above that, but obviously we're not. And that's what is disappointing. We need to realize that the election results have been accurately counted. It's 159 counties, and it really just shows you where we are as a state. The problem is when you live in your bubble of an 85% Trump, you know, district, you don't understand how it happens, but districts change over time. And that's why we need to make sure that we always, you know, build on our message and make sure that we're reaching out to voters.
Before we go, it seems to me that one thing Americans probably agree on is that there probably need to be some reform, some, I know it's state by state. And even if Georgia is doing a good job, when you look at the big picture, Brad, what reforms would you institute to make voting easier and more accessible for all Americans?
I think for us, Georgia already, we have 16 days of early voting, we have election day voting, and we have no excuse absentee voting. But I think that we really need to look at the guardrails for absentee so you don't have these questions, so you really can be certain. When we added that portal with photo ID, it really gives people confidence. You, if you're using it, they're really checking that it is me. That's a good thing. But other people that know that you're using it. And then I think also being able to join what is called, I talked about ERIC. So when you move to different states, we can update the voter rolls with objective measures. When we just take people off without those objective measures, it seems very subjective. And that's what creates distrust. So if we keep it more fact-based, objective-based, I think that's a good thing. I'm an engineer, so I think that way. I think at the end of the day, maybe we need to get some more engineers as secretaries of state and less politicians.
And what about like claims that dead people are voting or people are getting multiple ballots? When you hear those anecdotally, I think it sometimes undermines trust in the system. Are there measures and guardrails, as you would say, in place that even if that happens, those votes are not necessarily counted?
Well, when the Republicans had the state house for 2 years and Doug Collins did nothing, the one thing he should have done, because we've hit headwinds with federal laws, but they don't let us update the voter rolls 90 days out. But here's why it's so important. With 7.6 million registered voters in Georgia, and nationwide statistics say 11% move every year, that means that 800,000 Georgians are moving every year. Half could be moving within the state, within the county, but the other half could be moving to other states. 90 days out, that's 200,000 people that have moved in 90 days. It's an awesome number. Like, think, you know, we're so mobile. But if you can't update it, how do you keep up with your list? You could be off by up to 100,000 if half of those are moved out of state. And so those are things that need to be addressed, that you have accurate rolls so people aren't voting in two different states, and then also making sure we keep up with the death records and other situations. And that's why ERIC is very objective. It's Democrat, Republican states, so it's multi-state. It was really headed up by a fellow named David Becker. You should get him on sometime. He's with the Center of Election Innovation and Research, and he's done a really good job helping bring in both sides together to form ERIC, because it's like Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. And so sometimes there's not that trust, so we have to verify. And I think that's a good thing.
And ERIC again stands for?
Electronic Registration Information Center. And there's a website called ericstates.org.
All right. Well, Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, thank you very, very much for talking with us.
Thanks, Katie.
Really appreciate it. Good luck with everything, Brad.
Thanks.
Turnout is a production of iHeartMedia and Katie Couric Media. The executive producers are Katie Couric and Courtney Litz. Supervising producer is Lauren Hansen. Associate producers, Derek Clements, Eliza Costas, and Emily Pinto. Editing by Derek Clements and Lauren Hansen. Mixing by Derek Clements. Our researcher is Gabriel Luser. And special thanks to my right-hand woman, Adriana Fazio. You can follow me in all my election coverage at Katie Couric. Meanwhile, yes, I'm Katie Couric. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.